RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Development in border area giving concrete result. Sea is the future of Indonesian nation. Questioning the budget transparency of the House of Representatives, DPR. And now the news in detail. The development in the border area during the government of Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala has resulted concrete and real result. Secretary of the National Agency of the Border Management, BNPP Hadi Prabowo, in a dialogue with Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, said, although there are some obstacles, the development of basic social facilities and economy which is connected with leading sector have been realized gradually.
Yang pasti sudah merasakan baik itu kaitannya dengan infrastruktur.
Of course, people feel many improvement of infrastructure as well as basic social needs. Because Indonesia has a large territory so that it cannot build instantly. Therefore, in the medium term of the National Development Plan 2015-2019 has been affirmed how to realize the border region as the front yard that can be able to engage socio-economic activity with neighboring countries. Hadi Prabowo further said that the border area has huge potential, however it cannot be utilized optimally, although there have been geographical factors and a very wide range of controls in the implementation of President Joko Widodo's policy to build Indonesia by strengthening the region and villages has produced many tangible works. There are, among others, parallel road construction in the border area of Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara, and Papua. Related to agriculture sector, it has shown the result and has developed the existence of fishing industry, catching industry, and tourism. Indonesian Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti stated that Indonesian President Joko Widodo is committed to making the sea future of the nation. She noted at the Port of Ocean Fisheries in Cilacap District, Central Java Province on Monday, August 14, that Indonesian ocean can no longer be restricted per plot. She remarked that the current government program includes fair policies to support equity. Therefore, she called on all local government official ministers and law enforcement agencies to ensure justice and equity. Furthermore, she called for the implementation of a sustainable fisheries management. People should no longer make vessels that do not match the size listed on the ship licensing data. This should be investigated. Therefore, she asked the officer responsible to confirm the licenses of the ships that sail in the sea. Minister Susi Pujiastuti revealed that the fishery sector cannot contribute to the state finance as far as many ship owners change and enlarge the size of the ship without permission, including using data that do not match the size mentioned in the licensing data. The Center for Anti-Corruption Studies, Pusako at Universitas Andalas, urged the House of Representatives, DPR, to improve its performance rather than requesting for additional budget. According to coordinator of Pusako, Ferry Amsari, DPR's fundamental role is to produce laws which is reality, has failed to meet its legislation target. The House requested a 70% increase in its budget from the current 4.2 trillion to 7.2 trillion rupiah in 2018, although the number has now been slashed to 5.7 trillion rupiah after it was revised by the Indonesian government. Ferry is not surprised with the public's level of distrust against the House of Representatives, considering that the House is often involved in projects unrelated to the Parliament. The fact is, the public's spending trust against members of the House is caused by a large number of Parliament members that are involved in corruption cases. Indonesian President Joko Widodo Jokowi has invited hundreds of Banyuwangi's East Java Gandrung dancer to perform at the National Palace during the 72nd Independence Day celebration on August 17, 2017. Banyuwangi's Mayor Abdullah Azwar Anas stated in Banyuwangi on Monday, August 14, that the invitation from Jokowi is to honor Banyuwangi people and their arts. He remarked that he appreciates the central government and the president for having a real spirit to encourage local arts. The dancers have now been given an opportunity to perform during Independence Day celebration in the presence of state officials, guests, important figures, and representatives from friendly countries. This has become a proof of cultural diversity that unites and not divides. With abundant diversities, we could strengthen each other. Around 200 Gandrung dancers, consisting of junior and senior high school students, were off to Jakarta from Banyuwangi recently. They would perform Jejer Kembang Menur Dance, a new creation of Jejer Gandrung Dance. Gandrung Dance is scheduled to be performed after the Independence Day ceremony at National Palace Yard on Thursday, August 17. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The province of North Sulawesi exported 30,000 tons of crude coconut oil, CCO, in the first half 2017, a regional official said on Monday, August 14, in Manado, North Sulawesi. Head of the Provincial Industry and Trade Office, Jenny Karau, said that significant volume of CCO has been exported to the United States as demand for that commodity is high in that country. CCO is North Sulawesi's largest export earner, therefore, shrinking price of that commodity resulted in slowdown in the economic growth of the province. The North Sulawesi's economy grew only 5.8% in the April-June period, slowing from a growth of 6.43% year-on-year in the previous quarter. Head of Bank Indonesia Representative Office for North Sulawesi, Suko Wardoyo, said last week. Jenny said North Sulawesi has to take advantage of the market opportunity in the United States, adding the quality of North Sulawesi CCO has been recognized in the U.S. market. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said Indonesia has 22,000 hectares of potential location for salt farming. Luhut said on Monday, August 14 in Jakarta, that part of the farms have been productive, but unfortunately, the salt quality is not up to standard on the use of poor technology. He said the government has taken inventory salt has been produced in part of the lands, but with traditional system of farming. The salt purity might not be more than 80%, not up to an ideal level of 94 to 97%. Minister Luhut said the 22,000 hectares of lands are found in various areas all over the country, mainly in East Nusa Tenggara, which alone has around 15,000 hectares, Java, Madura, and Jeno Ponto of South Sulawesi. He said the technology application and study body BPPT already has the technology to increase and improve salt productivity and quality, adding the government hopes that the technology could be applied immediately. Luhut said development of the 22,000 hectares would be carried out at the same time with modernization of salt farming industry. And the last item, the Pantaloan Custom and Excise Office in Palu, Central Sulawesi have thwarted an attempt to smuggle hundreds of tons of rattan to Malaysia. The rattans were carried by two vessels, KLM Bunga Madina and KLM Karya Bersama. Pantaloan Custom and Excise Office had Trimulyo Cahyono said in Palu on Monday, 14 of August, that in total they carried 293 tons of rattan. He added that the two vessels were caught last Tuesday in the Makassar Strait around Tanjung Mangka Liat, Berau, East Kalimantan, as they were sailing to Tawau, Malaysia. Pantaloan Custom and Excise Officers also arrested the captains of both ships, as well as crew members. Trimulyo said they have been detained at Maesa Penitentiary in Palu, where they will wait for the completion of their case document before starting trial. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Development in border area giving concrete result. C is the future of Indonesian nation. Questioning the budget transparency of the House of Representatives, DPR. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today, entitling Building Indonesia from the Periphery. August is a very special month for Indonesian people. This month, precisely on August 17, 72 years ago, Indonesia, which has approximately 17,000 islands, proclaimed its independence. It is the struggle of all elements of the nation to free from colonialism and independently regulate the life and future of the nation. Based on its geographical location, Indonesia borders with several countries, including Australia, Philippines, India, Malaysia, Papua New Guinea, East Timor, and Vietnam. In August, Indonesian people evaluate that Indonesians have achieved after their 72 years of independence. One of the concerns is the progress and development in border areas. Indeed, border areas have become one of the focuses of President Joko Widodo's administration. The development and management of the border areas are the current priority agenda. Building Indonesia from the periphery by strengthening the regions and villages within the framework of the unitary state is in the third point of Nawacita, the non-priority agenda of the government. The Indonesian government continuously develops infrastructure in border areas. President Joko Widodo has asserted several times that the country has to build infrastructure in areas bordering neighboring countries to maintain national sovereignty. Even the president assigned his ministers related to infrastructure development to complete all plans and programs by 2019 at the latest. Infrastructure development, such as roads, has become many people's expectation in border areas, so that they are no longer dependent on supply from neighboring countries. The seriousness of the Indonesian government to develop border areas has been seen, at least from the budget disbursed. In the last 3 years, the budget allocated by the government has continued to rise. In 2015, the budget was 9.5 trillion rupiah. In 2016, it rose to 13 trillion rupiah. And now, it is 16.9 trillion rupiah. Development on the border area should receive special attention, because they are the first fortress to withstand the entrance of unwanted things from the outside. The increasing welfare is expected to further enhance the spirit of nationalism of the society and stronger Indonesian fortress at the border. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with 1948, South Korea is established. In 1910, the Korean Peninsula was occupied by the Japanese. It gained independence after World War II in 1945 was over. But the United States and Soviet troops, who played an important role in expelling the Japanese imperialists in Korea, placed their respective forces in the South and the North Korea with the 38-degree border of the northern latitudes, to which the foundation for the division of the Korean Peninsula had been formed. The division of the Korean Peninsula is a mixture of various factors, including the pros and cons of establishing Korea's representative under the United Nations, the clash between the left and right wing, and the atmosphere of Cold War tension that dominates the Korean Peninsula. Under the United Nations supervision, democratic elections were held in the South, or South Korea, and on August 15, 1948, South Korea was formally established under the name of the Republic of Korea. With the official announcement of the establishment of the Republic of Korea, the Korean Peninsula is perfectly divided. Turning to the August 15, 1945, Indonesian youth leaders hold a meeting of the Proclamation of Independence. The announcement of the Japanese surrender to the Allies was received through radio broadcast in Jakarta. With the Japanese surrender, the situation changed. Japan no longer governed Indonesia but served only as a guardian of the status quo, or safeguarding situation and condition as it was during the war and forbidding changes in Indonesia. Independence then was impossible to obtain from Japan. Therefore, on August 15, 1945, Indonesian youths led by Chairul Saleh held a meeting at the Microbiology Laboratory Room in East Pegangsaan, Jakarta, to discuss the implementation of the Proclamation of Independence without Japanese assistance. Finally, Indonesia proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945. Let's end with August 15, 1962, the Netherlands and Indonesia signed the New York Agreement. The New York Agreement is a treaty initiated by the United States in 1962 for the transfer of power over Western Papua from the Netherlands to Indonesia. The New York Agreement was motivated by Indonesia's efforts to seize the western part of Papua from the hands of the Dutch. At the Roundtable Conference in The Hague, when the recognition of Indonesian sovereignty by the Netherlands mentioned that the problem of western part of Papua will be completed within 1 year since the conference, but until 1961 unresolved. The United States feared that the Soviet Union would increasingly intervene in the western part of Papua, urging the Dutch to hold talks with Indonesia. The Indonesian delegation was led by Adam Malik and the Netherlands by Dr. Van Rooyen, while E. Bunker from the United States became the intermediary. On August 15, 1962, the New York Agreement was obtained, which contained the transfer of Western Papua from the Netherlands through the United Nations Temporary Executive Authority, or UNTEA. On May 1, 1963, West Papua returned to Indonesia. The position of Western Papua became more certain after the People's Consultation was held in 1969. The people of Western Papua chose to remain within Indonesia. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome to today's focus entitled Pancasila Will Be a Bulwark from Foreign Ideology Assault. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, speaking at the launch of the Pancasila Education Strengthening Program at the Bogor Palace on Saturday, said that many people thought the ideological battle in the world has over because the Berlin Wall in Germany had collapsed and the Cold War between the Western Bloc and the East Bloc ended. President Joko Widodo also said the ideological war is not over. Even in different ways, it will enter gradually, whether through music, dance, culture, and economy. Therefore, the president asked the Indonesian nation to be careful. This was stated by President Joko Widodo in front of 540 students and lecturers from 510 representatives of the state and private universities throughout Indonesia. In his speech, the president also said that Pancasila ideology can direct to the goal of the Indonesian nation and the stem the infiltration of ideology from outside of the country. The president also explained in detail the Pancasila Ideology Stabilization Work Unit of UKP-PIP will convey. Anything must be done so that the infiltration of ideology from the outside can be dammed and ideological battle can still be won by Indonesia. The former governor of Jakarta also reminded that the world changes is very quickly and this transition must be anticipated. According to President, Y generation will affect the political market, landscape, economy, and social for the next 5 to 10 years. Everything will change because all effects of young people are on their hands, such as mobile phones and gadgets. According to the president, the change is already evident in sight. So the people, Indonesian people, must strengthen themselves with the values of nation and religious characters. According to President Jokowi, ideological battle and infiltration of ideology are exist apparently, both through social media, Facebook, Instagram, video blogs, Twitter, and so forth. The president also asked and reminded the students to diligently write about Pancasila and plurality of Indonesia. The president asserted that it is impossible for the presidential work unit of Pancasila ideology development, the government, and the People's Consultative Assembly to work alone. The government must invite all parties to engage in this great work. President Joko Widodo said that universities, religious organizations, youth organizations should work together to rebuild the formation of Pancasila ideology. That was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Here is our news in brief. The development in the border area during the government of Joko Widodo Yusuf Kalla has resulted concrete and real result. Secretary of the National Agency of Border Management, Hadi Prabowo, in a dialogue with Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday said, although there are some obstacles, the development of basic social facilities and economy, which is connected with leading sector, have been realized gradually. Indonesian Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti stated that Indonesian President Joko Widodo is committed to making the sea the future of the nation. The Center of Anti-Corruption Studies, PUSACO, at Universitas Andalas urged the House of Representatives, DPR, to improve its performance rather than requesting for additional budget. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has invited hundreds of Banyuwangi's East Java Gandrung dancer to perform at the National Palace during the 72nd Independence Day celebration on August 17, 2017. The province of North Sulawesi exported 30,000 tons of crude coconut oil in the first half 2017, a regional official said on Monday, August 14, in Manado, North Sulawesi. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said Indonesia has 22,000 hectares of potential location for salt farming. And the last item, the Pantalon Custom and Excise Office in Palu Central Sulawesi have thwarted an attempt to smuggle hundreds of tons of rattan to Malaysia. The rattans were carried by two vessels, KLM Bunga Madina and KLM Karya Bersama. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will invite you to visit East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listener, the people of East Manggarai highly appreciate and honor the rice as the mother of the earth. As many as 90% of East Manggarai people are indeed farmers as their livelihood. They live integrate with the nature. Everything related to planting various types of horticulture are always preceded by a customary ritual that respects the universe and God Almighty. Therefore, it is no wonder that East Manggarai people have various customary rituals related to agriculture. There are some rituals which will be presented to you, such as Weri Mata Nii, or blessing the rice seeds, which is ritualized with chicken blood. Masok Mata Nii, or planting the rice and corn seeds that have been blessed customarily. Raut Kalang, or cleaning up the grass on the sidelines of rice. And Umbiro ritual, which is held at the edge of the field. Listener, Umbiro ritual is always dedicated by farmers in East Manggarai, especially in Bengan village, Ranakolong village, Gunung Baru village, and other 22 villages. The Umbiro is a ritual to ask the universe for abundant rice. The local language, Umbi means pool and Ro means rope that grows in the forest. So Umbiro ritual is performed like to play a tug of war. Uniquely, those who perform Umbiro are women against men wearing traditional dress called songke, scarves and headscarves. When the ritual is executed, the songs associated with rice also accompany the ritual. Before the Umbiro ritual is held on the edge of the field, firstly, they dedicate the offerings to the nature, the ancestors and the God Almighty in the form of chickens, pigs and goats and other things. Ritual is usually held to ask the universe, ancestors and God to give the abundant results and protect the rice from the disturbance of evil spirits. The ritual was made by the ancestors of East Manggarai people in ancient times, as the nature was always close to humans and everything connected to the universe. The tradition was later inherited to the next generation until today's era of modern agricultural technology. Until now, the local people hold Umbiro ritual on the edge of the field when the rice starts blooming, and it is usually held in March. Listener, until now, the rituals related to rice and corn, such as Umbiro ritual, is made in the form of dances developed by students and teachers of the local elementary schools. They keep on trying to preserve the local wisdom of East Manggarai.
Event Wiro Traditions recently was held by the Manggarai people during the gala dinner of International Cycling Race Tour de Flores. At the time, a number of 30 elementary school students performed Umbiro dance at Muara Borong Beach. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Umbiro Ritual from East Manggarai. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Lomba Panjat Pinang or Panjat Pinang Competition. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Perlombaan. Perlombaan. In English, competition. Panjat pinang. Panjat pinang. Pinang or arekana tree climbing. Jam 1. Jam 1. 1 p.m. Massal. Massal. Mass. Bambu. Bambu, bamboo, atau, atau, or, tiang, tiang, pole, oli, oli, lubricant, atas, atas, the top, gantung, gantung, to hang, bermacam-macam, bermacam-macam, various, hadiah, hadiah, prizes, menarik, menarik, interesting. Sepeda, sepeda, bicycle. Kipas angin, electric fan. Dan lain-lain, etc. Peserta, peserta, participant. Mengambil, mengambil, to get. Licin, licin, slippery. Susah, susah, difficult. Melihat, melihat, to see. Bersama-sama, bersama-sama, together. Pergi, pergi, to go. Teman, teman, friend. Next is a conversation on Lomba Panjat Pinang, or in English, Pinang Tree Climbing Competition. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Rita at the office. Bagaimana kalau besok kita ke Ancol? Bagaimana kalau besok kita ke Ancol? In English, how about going to Ancol tomorrow? Di sana, jam 1 ada perlombaan panjat pinang massal. Di sana, jam 1 ada perlombaan panjat pinang massal. At 1 p.m., there will be a mass panjat pinang competition. Apakah panjat pinang itu? Apakah panjat pinang itu? In English, what is panjat pinang? Panjat pinang adalah bambu, atau tiang yang diberi oli. Panjat pinang adalah bambu atau tiang yang diberi oli. Panjat pinang is a competition of climbing a pinang tree or a pole smeared with lubricant. Kemudian di atasnya digantung bermacam-macam hadiah yang menarik. Kemudian di atasnya digantung bermacam-macam hadiah yang menarik. At the top of the pinang tree or pole, there are various interesting prizes, seperti sepeda, kipas angin, dan lain-lain. Like bicycles, electric fan, etc. Peserta harus berjuang naik untuk mengambil hadiah. Participant must struggle to climb and reach the top to get the prizes. Tetapi karena licin, susah namun mengundang banyak tawa untuk bisa sampai atas. But since it is so slippery, it is very difficult yet hilarious to reach the top. Oh, saya belum pernah melihatnya. Oh, I've never seen it. Bagaimana kalau kita pergi bersama? How about going together? Baiklah, nanti kita pergi bersama dengan teman-teman lainnya. Alright, we'll go together with others. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. It's a great pleasure to meet you in the regular Music Corner. In this edition, we present you to Dangdut Songs. Stay tuned.
Ku ingin engkau tahu betapa ku mengagumimu. Ku ingin engkau tahu betapa diriku memujamu. Haruskah aku nyanyikan cintaku agar kau dengar suara hatiku? Haruskah aku melukiskan tulus cintaku kepadamu? Sekian lama ku pendam rasa, rasa yang begitu dalam padamu, tapi itu semua hayalan. Akankah jadi kenyataan? Ku ingin engkau
ingin engkau tahu betapa ku mengagumi. kau tahu betapa ku mengagumimu. Ku ingin engkau tahu betapa diriku.
Listeners, you've just heard the song Suara Hati. It was sung by dangdut singer Ayu Ting Ting. The song, which was released in 2015, tells the story of someone who wants to make the beloved one feel and realize the admiration and great love that has been perceived for a long time. The music of Suara Hati was impressed elegantly, which is dominantly by loop and digital instruments. The sound of flute and drum in the middle of the song brings dangdut rhythm comes inside to the song. Composed by Fauzi KDI, the song Suara Hati is the leading song of the album entitled Best of Ayu Ting Ting. This album presents best songs, which are packed nicely with the dangdut music and also combined with the strains of electronic dance music, rock, melee, and acoustic nuances. Especially with the characteristic voice of Ayu, making this album more fresh and interesting. Besides the song Suara Hati, there are four new songs in this album, namely Sambalado, My Lovely, Kekasihku, and Indonesiaku Berkarya Untukmu. The album also added with four hit songs that previously been popular among the dangdut lovers, such as Sik Asik, Gregetan, Single Happy, and Yang Sudah Ya Sudahlah. Some dangdut musicians who involved in this album, such as Fauzi KDI, Andika Maisa, and Liliana Tanu Sudipyo.
Thank you. selalu terbayang hangat pelukanmu.
Listeners, you have just heard the song entitled Kekasihku. The song became the third single on Best of Ayu Ting Ting's album. Kekasihku tells a deep longing for the presence of a sweetheart, but the one never come. The music of the song is slow dangdut. Ayu admitted quite difficult to sing the song because the music of her previous song was affected by a mixture of other music, while the song Kekasihku is purely dangdut. Created by Fauzi Bima, the single Kekasihku and the video clip was officially released on April 14, 2016 and promoted through her Instagram account. To conclude this dangdut music corner, let's listen to the last two songs from the album Best of Ayu Ting Ting, namely Sik Asik and Yang Sudah Ya Sudahlah. If the Sik Asik tells the story of someone who is in love, but the song Yang Sudah Ya Sudahlah tells the story of someone who has forgiven the beloved mistakes and tried to make the relation increasing well. That was today's edition of Music Corner. See you and sampai jumpa.
Sick ass.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Sesakan dada, jangan lagi, jangan-jangan ingat kau, semua itu sungguh sesakan dada. Kita tinggalkan semua itu, kisah kita sungguh lelahkan hati. Kita tinggalkan semua itu, anggap semuanya tak pernah terjadi.
Siwa sugeni yoroshima shita, aku telah memaafkan kamu.
this place, burying my feelings, I'm welcoming an eye into the darkest one. It tells me not to worry, for the time is yet to come for someone to arrive and heal the troubled one. Suddenly the rain falls, showering the desert stone, wash away these tears of yesterday. I hear a sound of a raising chorus, sung by the angels and the broken heroes. I won't go back now, I feel so right, I found a place where dreams and life become one.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.